Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
So good to be in God's house today, isn't it? I'm excited. I'm excited for the Word of God. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you today. And the message I have for you today is to tell you that we are in new times. If you didn't know already, we are in new times, yeah? And it's an exciting time ahead. And so if you've got your Bibles with you, or if you don't, you can join with me on the screen. And I want to jump into the message, and I want to speak to you from a passage from Amos chapter 9, verse 13 to 15. And it says, behold, someone say, behold. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. And the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I've given them, says the Lord your God. You know, this picture of the plowman, the reaper, the grape treader, and the sower overtaking each other in the seasons and stages of growth, this captured my attention. Instead of each of them in their own time and their own season playing their part, all of them were invested together at once. The same time, they were bumping into each other using their muscle, their time, their energy, their skill, their gift, their expertise. You know, if you were here a few weeks ago, Pastor Shane was talking about harvesting, and he asked me in front of you all a particular question. He was looking, it was a farming question. But when I didn't give the answer that he wanted, he called me a fake farmer. Anyone remember that? Offensive, I know. It's taken me a couple of weeks. But I'm okay. Thank you for your prayers. I like to think of myself as a faith farmer instead, yeah? Because now who has the microphone? That's it. That's because I'm a faith farmer and I know a thing or two about harvesting, let me tell you. Growing up on a farm, I remember harvest time being such an exciting time. It was such a highlight. All the talk, all the focus leading up to the harvest was about the harvest. I mean, when were the paddocks going to be ready? When are we going to cut the grass? When would the weather be good to dry out the grass, and which day would we be harvesting? And so we would be watching the weather, we would be talking about strategizing, planning, and then we would gather the team. I mean, we'd call in the neighbors and we would ring up Joe because he had the cutter, and you know, Frank, he had something else, and we would just, all hands were needed. Everyone was needed. And so when I got to the age of 9 and 10, my job was to drive the old red Bedford truck. Yeah, I mean, there would be two or three guys on the back of the truck, and my feet just reached the pedals. My job was to drive the truck and to line up the bales. I had to drive beside the bales, the square bales, not these fancy round bales that they have now with the plastic over them. These were back in the real harvesting days. And so my job was to drive beside the bales, line up the bale, so that it could go up on the conveyor belt and come off the top, and the blokes on the back would be stacking the bales on the back of the truck. And when the tray was full, we would head for the haystack, and it was always hot. I mean, there was grass going everywhere. It was, the sun was out, it was hot. It was in, you know, October, November, and we would always look forward to lunch, yeah? Because the CWA girls, that's the Country Women's Association, for those of you who don't know, the Country Women's Association would be preparing the food. That was my mum and the neighbour's wife. And so they would be making the sandwiches, they would be baking the scones. I mean, the jam and the cream were flowing, and the esky was full of cordial and ice. Harvest time on the farm was an event, and it happened once a year. Prior to this time that we're in right now, the seasons of life might have helped to explain some of the things that you and I would go through. You know, seasons to consider and factor in as to why some things were happening in your life and maybe why some things weren't happening in our lives. For instance, you know, was it a springtime in your life where you could see new life and momentum coming and you could see new initiatives coming forth in your life, and just things were budding and sprouting around you? Or maybe it felt like a winter time for you where things were cold and dormant and there was nothing happening and you're praying, God, what are you doing in my life? Why is nothing happening for me? But I don't believe that this is those times. I don't believe that this is that time where we look at the seasons as they run their course of time in our life. I believe we're in a different time. There is an acceleration and there is an activity that we are to perceive and to be about, because I believe that God is doing a restorative work amongst his people, a restorative work, yeah, in the kingdom. You know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Shane shared a verse from John chapter 4, verse 35 about not saying that there are 4 months till harvest. In John chapter 4, 35, it says, "Do you not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ready. They are white for harvest." And Jesus had to keep reminding his disciples over and over in different ways to take their eyes off the natural and put them onto what matters most, the eternal. Because leading up to this verse, the previous seven verses leading up to this verse, the disciples, they kept missing the point. Jesus had been speaking with the Samaritan woman at the well, and the disciples were so stuck on the fact that a Jewish man was talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan woman, they were stuck there. They didn't even think to ask him, "Why were you talking to her?" It didn't even cross their mind. And then as they were leaving the city, the disciples said, "Rabbi, you should eat. You should eat now." But he said, "I have food you do not know of." And they're asking each other, "Did you order Uber? Who fed Jesus? Who gave him food?" They were stuck on that. And then Jesus talks about the harvest time and he says, "Do you not say that there are still 4 months to harvest, because the harvest is now?" Jesus kept saying to his disciples, "Look up. Lift your eyes to what really matters." These issues, like Jewish men shouldn't speak to women, let alone Samaritan women. The food, the natural harvest times, these temporary things don't matter in eternity. What matters most is the work of the kingdom. And as much as I read these verses, I smile, I laugh with the disciples or at the disciples, because I'm like, they had Jesus right in front of them. And he was teaching them and he was saying to them, "This is not where it's at, guys. Lift your eyes." But it makes me wonder if we too, in our time now, miss what God's trying to say to us now, that we are so distracted and we're so preoccupied with the noise that's going on around about us, that we too miss what's most important. So I want to encourage you today, lift your eyes. Focus on Jesus. That's our prize, yeah? He is about something. He is doing something. It may be hidden right now, but he is up to something and it will be revealed. And he wants our involvement. You know, the prophet Amos gives us a glimpse of what happens when God sovereignly declares that it's harvest time. I mean, it's without regard to the natural seasons of life. It's without regard to the times or the seasons running their course. It's not based on whether the cycles of time for ploughing and sowing and harvesting have run their course, because when God sovereignly declares that he is restoring his people, the day and the time is irrelevant. What's happening in the world is irrelevant. God says, "I'm not bound by the limitations and the constraints and the things that are going on. I declare a harvest that is so plentiful." so plentiful and abundant. And it's going to last so long. In fact, it's going to run into the time that the plower needs to start plowing. And the sower will start sowing before the grape treader has even finished treading out the grapes of the harvest and the haul that is coming in. Everyone is required. Everyone is needed in this harvest. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God's restoring. God is restoring. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word restoring. If there's a picture that comes to your mind when you hear this word restoring, I mean, maybe you think of being in a dimly lit room and there's, you know, candles maybe, and there's some aromatherapy smells, beautiful smells. You know, there's some soft music playing, something with maybe strings playing, and you're just being, you know, lulled back to life. You know, maybe it's a pedicure, maybe it's a head and shoulders massage, maybe it's that warm towel around your feet. It feels so restoring, doesn't it? But could I suggest to you today that maybe, just maybe, God's best work of restoration and wholeness that He does in us involves our activity and our engagement, our alignment with Him and His Word. Maybe it's the opposite of what we're thinking. It requires you giving your life to Him, your all to Him, and your obedience to the Word and following His voice and His ways. You know, if I think over our journey as a church from the very early days and the way that everyone was needed, I mean, we were doing multiple things. We were in multiple areas all at the one time because everyone's help and everyone's hands were needed at that time. We didn't have these things like departments. That was fancy. You know, we just did everything. And we were all new to this. We were all new to, you know, different ones of us were new to God. We didn't know what we were doing. We had baggage. We weren't professionals. Yeah? I mean, not that we would ever want to be professional when it comes to church. But, I mean, we did have baggage. We had stuff. I mean, some of us more than others, Pastor Mick, you know. We were green, yeah. We needed work, but I will speak for me. It's all right, Pastor Mick. I wasn't easy to work with. I was complicated. I mean, yes. I mean, I was insecure. I had hang-ups. I just got back into church. I mean, I was thinking that if you went to church twice on a Sunday, then you obviously needed to get a life. That's where I was, yeah? So God had to do a great work. This is what you see today, you know. But as I got to work, as I got to setting up the chairs, as I got to serving, helping the creative team run the snake, you know, from the back of the sound desk right to the front, you know, I was setting up the equipment, making the teas and an instant coffee back then. And I thought I was just helping and building the church. And all the while God was working, He was restoring me as I got to work. He was restoring me as I got to work. From the years of running from Him, from the years of living for myself and my own choices and decisions, of my stinking attitudes, God was restoring me as I got to work. Yeah? And God began a restorative work in me. He began a restorative work in us as we contributed, as we served, and still it continues today by His grace. You know, God's restorative process doesn't look like you reclining in a dimly lit room with candles and stringed instruments. We might like it, we may prefer it that way, but it looks like a bright, light-filled journey of fellowship, of belonging, of contributing, of sowing, of ploughing up and digging up old thinking and old habits and old ways and old attitudes and planting instead the fruit of the Spirit, yeah, and the ways of the kingdom. That's what God's restorative process looks like. So I want to quickly bring you around 3 points. The first point is to see the opportunities in these days. God begins these verses by saying, "Behold, the days are coming. Behold, see and grab a hold of the opportunities that are ahead of you and believe for greater days. I mean, we've all had other days. Who's had other days? We've all had other days, especially over the last 2 years. We have had other days. But the great thing about what God is doing and how he begins this passage is that he declares that new days are coming, that there are new days, that there are brighter days, that there are better days ahead of us, where there's opportunities everywhere. The harvest will be so great. The abundance, the provision that he is declaring will require all hands on deck. Everyone's involvement, from the young to the old and everyone in between, from the harvester to the plough person, the grape treader and the sower, he's declaring new days. And we need to see these days of opportunity before us, just like the sons of Issachar did in their time. They knew the seasons. They knew the times. They knew the ploughing time in the natural. They knew the sowing time in the natural. But they also knew the ceremonial times, the times of the solemn feasts. They knew the political times, the public affair times of the nation of Israel. They could read the times. And this was heavenly wisdom. We need God's heavenly wisdom, yeah, in these times. And so the thinking we need to be about is actually contrary to what you and I might be hearing now, which is to look after yourself and yours, yeah? You've heard some of this. You've been through a hard time. You're Melbourneites, especially if you live in Victoria. You've had it hard. You know, in July and the school holidays, there was a window where we were open. And so my family and I, we went up to Queensland for a little bit of a holiday in that window. And we were in the taxi and we were going going from the airport, that's right. And the lady that was driving the car, she said, "Oh, you know, where are you from?" And we said, from Melbourne. She goes, "Oh, you guys have had it so tough." And I was in the front seat and I'm like, yes, we have. Poor us. We've had it so hard. We need a holiday, you know? But that thinking, even her saying that, if we're not careful, we can become victims in this, yeah? If we're not careful, we can go, yes, I need nurturing. I need comforting. Wrap me in cotton wool. And just protect me. Yes, we need to look after ourselves, but not so that we lose sight of God's purpose for now, that we lose sight of looking to the needs of others at this time, of the building, the ploughing, the sowing, the reaping that needs to happen. We are about kingdom business. We are about a godly purpose. We are about the eternal and not the temporal. Amen? So that's point number one. Point number two is see that the work is blessed. As much as these verses from Amos sound busy, they sound hectic, don't be overwhelmed by this. Because the alignment of the activity of the workers and what you and I do and what we're about is blessed. It's blessed. It's blessed. It has the favor, the ease, the grace of God upon it. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have a what? An abundance for every good work." You know, only a few months ago, we started our focus on the community space, and we'd already been doing part of this initiative, and we've been providing food packs to international students. But we started to focus a little bit more and put our attention onto this, and we began to build relationships with those in the community and finding community partners. Who does God want us to partner with at this time? Who does God want us to build relationship with at this time? And so we started having conversations during the lockdown, you know, as we met different community business people, from the fruit and veg grocer to the baker to the supermarket owner. And they all said in their conversation that they would love to donate. And they loved what we were doing. They wanted to get behind what we were doing in helping students and vulnerable families with food relief packs. They were generous people. It's not that they weren't being impacted by the things that were going on, especially in their areas of their business. They were being impacted by the lockdowns, the lack of people, the lack of sales, all of that. But they said, you know what? We love what you do. And we're going to get behind you and we're going to donate. They were generous people devising generous ways in order to provide provision. They don't know it, but God is using them. They don't know it, but they're involved in God's work at this time. Understand that the work that you do is blessed. As you align your activity to kingdom, as you align to serving in the house, as you align to building God's house, understand that the work is blessed. Amos says, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine and the hills shall flow from it. These are places that don't normally have wine and grapes, yeah? But it says, you will harvest where you haven't sown. You will get a harvest, you will reap a harvest from areas that you wouldn't have thought that you could get. Places that are on the hillside, places that you're not looking for, but all of the hills shall flow with it. And it says in 14, I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities, the desolate places, the empty places. They shall build in those places and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and they will drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens. Anyone like to make gardens? I do. And eat the fruit from them. So it means that as they work, there's going to be provision for them. There's going to be provision as they build and they plant and they make gardens. And so you will see the overwhelming favor of God on the things that you do. His love for workers, for the workers of the harvest. They won't have to look for it. They won't have to look where they've sown because the harvest will be found in unexpected places. Unexpected places in your life. You know what God has called you and I to do? There is blessing and there's provision and there is abundance. God doesn't call you to these things and not give you what you need. He doesn't call you to step out in faith and then not meet you there. He's not that God. He's standing beside you. Yeah? It says that we have a crowd of witnesses. My crowd, your crowd is cheering you on. They're saying, come on, you can do it. Step out in faith. Step out in God. Step out at this time where it seems uncertain. No, it's not uncertain for God. He's in control. He's sovereign. Amen. Speaking about the sovereignty of God, God is sovereign. That's my third point. God is sovereign. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So, you know, when God says, that's amazing right there. When God says it, behold, the days are coming. He's speaking out those words. He's speaking it going forth. God just has to speak and it takes place. God just has to speak. He speaks and it happens. When God speaks and declares the harvest is now upon your life, then it doesn't matter if it's a time of drought, doesn't matter if it's a winter time. He's not waiting for the season to change in order to move. No. God declares the harvest and it's irrelevant what time of year it is in your life, in your family, in your business. It's irrelevant what season you're in or what you're going through. When God says it, it's time to put aside whatever it is that you're occupied with. It's time to lay down whatever is in your hands. Get your hands empty in order for God to fill it. Yeah? Get your oil jars ready. Gather the jars. Gather the empty jars. Yeah? Get ready for God to fill them. Get ready for God to move in your life. Put aside the distractions. God's best work of restoration is when we're empty ourselves, yeah? When we're empty vessels. And so God wants to fill your life. Amos chapter 9 verse 15 says, I will plant them. He starts off by saying, behold, the days are coming. Then he talks about the plowman and the sower and the treader of grapes, and he talks about, you know, the reaper. But then he concludes with, I will plant them. God is sovereign. He's not stuck. He's not restricted. He's not limited in how he can move in your life. If he says it, he will do it. Amen. No longer shall they go back and forward. No longer should they be pulled up from the land I have given them. There's an inheritance for you. There's an inheritance for you to lay your hold of. See it. See it today. You know, when I look around in Joy Church, I see the harvesting. Can you see it? Can you see it in Cambodia? The harvest, you know, they step in virtually to Cambodia, Bundit and Beck. Well, we step in virtually and then we send Pastor Bundit and Beck into Cambodia. But all the time, we're reaping a harvest. How is that possible in a pandemic? How is that possible when we can't go? This is impossible for us, but it's not for God. And God's just shown his handiwork. He's showing off. He's saying, look what I can do. Look what I can do. You can come in and you can harvest where you haven't sown. Where you haven't sown. And so now there's a plowing and there's a sowing and there's a harvesting. And that's happening all at the one time. All at the one time. It's amazing. God is not restricted. The craziest of times. God's attracted, you know, to our brokenness. It says that his mercies are new every morning, you know. It says that he's a restoring God. So let's be those people who see that our days are filled with opportunity. See the blessing of God that is upon our aligned kingdom activity and know that he is sovereign. He is sovereign. He's got you. He's not only going to look after you and your family, but he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Someone say, my faith, my faith. He's got it. What he began in you, he will complete. What he started, he will finish in you. All that he requires is for us to start to see, to know that the work is blessed, and to know that he's sovereign. He's sovereignly working in our lives. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says, and the God of all grace, someone say all grace, all grace, who called you to the eternal glory in Christ after you suffered a little while. Who feels like you suffered a little while? Yeah. He will restore, it says. He himself will restore you. And what will he do? He'll make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will establish you. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you today because I've really, this message came to me this week. God showed me this. But if I think about it, over the past few weeks as we've been stepping back into church, I've felt like God is doing a healing work. As we come together, things are dropping off us. As we step out and we step into church and we come into fellowship and we come into serving again, yeah, we might have felt a little wobbly at times, but God is healing. God is restoring. God is doing a work within us. And he's removing the smoke. He's removing the stuff that has wanted to attach itself to you. He's healing the brokenness, the loss, the grief that maybe you've experienced and you've been carrying. He's taking off that weight and he's exchanging it. He's exchanging it for his yoke, his burden, his light. It's light on us. It's light. There's ease. There's blessing on our work. And so I want you to understand what's happening. I want you to walk out of here going, no, you know what? It seems so complicated. Life seems so complicated, but I know if I focus on Jesus, it's simple. It becomes really simple. It's like, you know what, God, you've got me. And if you've got me and you've called me, then I know that you're going to look after the stuff. If I fix my eyes, if I seek his kingdom first, He's got all the things. He's got all of that. He's got you. He's got your family. He's got your concerns, your anxieties. Cast your cares. Cast your cares on him today. Can I pray for you? All right. Lord, I just thank you for each one here today. I thank you, Lord, that you are sovereignly moving. Lord, there's nothing that we can do to add in to what you're doing in that sense. There's no works that we can do in and of ourselves. But Lord, it's by your grace that you're showering upon us, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that each one that's represented here, each family, Lord, I pray that we would live under your grace. Lord, that we would position ourselves, we would reposition ourselves if necessary. That we would be under, Lord, the oil that is flowing. We would be under the work that you are doing, Lord God. That we would engage our hands and our hearts. And we would apply our time and our energy to what matters most. And that is what is eternal. Lord God, I pray. If there's weariness, I pray, Lord God, bring refreshing to hearts. If there's a sense of loss and grief, Lord God, I pray heal. Bring your healing. Bring your healing into those places, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen us, strengthen our feet to run. Strengthen our hands, Lord God, to stretch them out. Not to shrink back, but to stretch them out, Lord God. I pray, strengthen our hands, strengthen our mouths, Lord God. Let your word be upon our lips, Lord, that we would speak life into dead situations. We would speak life over people, Lord, in their times of feeling so lost. Lord God, I pray your word would be in our mouths and we would proclaim your good news. So, Lord God, I pray that you'd bless each one here today. We love you. We thank you for what you're doing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.